tired, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world. And I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left. us away. It can even set a prisoner free. There is no end to what its power can do. So let it go and be amazed by what you see through eyes of grace. The prisoner that it really frees is you. Forgiveness.
Hope Show listeners, I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me here on the Hope Show today. I hope each of you have had a very blessed week, and I hope that you and your family have enjoyed good health this week. There's some illnesses going on around our house, and so I think we're kind of just passing it off from one person to the next, but we're all healing and we're doing good, so I hope you and your family are as well. As we are coming up on the holidays of Thanksgiving and Christmas, the Lord has placed it upon my heart to do a message on the poison of unforgiveness. Forgiveness is so important all year long, but it's even more important around the holidays. There are people hurting and separated from their loved ones because of disagreements, because of painful words spoken in anger, because of resentment, bitterness, and there's so many more reasons that I haven't named. There are families that do not even get together anymore, and everyone suffers for it. At this time, I would like each of us to bow our head in a prayer before we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today with praise and thanksgiving in our hearts. We are joined together today to hear and receive your word. Dear Heavenly Father, you know what each of us are going through. And we thank you for continually being by our side, encouraging, comforting, strengthening, loving, fighting our battles, keeping us from giving up, and letting all things we face from day to day from consuming us. Dear Heavenly Father, some of us are dealing with unforgiveness in our heart today. And for some of us, these thoughts of unforgiveness are threatening to consume us daily. And the unbearable pain still lingers on. Some of us don't see any way out of this situation. But Father, we know that you will make a way. Please guide us accordingly to do the right thing based upon your will and not our own. We shout praises of joy in your holy name. In your presence is where we want to be. Please help us to release our past and the unforgiveness in our hearts. Dear Heavenly Father, please anoint this vessel and the words I speak today. May the words I speak be straight from you and not from myself. I pray that each of your children listening today would have a receptive mind and a receptive heart, and that we would all come away from today's message having a stronger understanding of you, Lord. May we be encouraged for all the challenges we face. We thank you in advance for these answered prayers, what you have done for us, and what you are about to do for us. We pray in your Son, Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen. Amen. Again, thank you for joining me in that moment of prayer. So now, let's begin. I want to start out by sharing this quote from Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. He says, "Forgiveness is not an occasional act. It is a constant attitude." Forgiveness is not an occasional act. It's a constant attitude. Brother, sister, mother, father, husband, wife, son, daughter, friend, colleague, neighbor, our relationships contain many people with the potential to hurt us, very often in small, ongoing ways. Sometimes, in trying to be good people, we try to brush those hurts aside, you know, like brush them under the rug, thinking, I am not a vindictive person, I'm not overly sensitive, these things shouldn't even bother me, and so we tend to just brush those things under the rug. But they do bother us. Our egos are magnets for things like resentment and bitterness. What impact does all of this have on our bodies, our mind, our heart, and our soul? Well, in Matthew 18:21-22, the Bible tells us that, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? And Jesus answered, I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. And by this message, it means that we are to forgive them as often as they sin. Even more than 77 times, as often as they sin. There are no limitations on the number of times that you forgive someone. It is eternal and timeless, which is holy. Many people ruin their health and their lives by taking on the poison of bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness. In Matthew 18:22-35, the Bible tells us that if we do not forgive people, we get turned over to the torturers. Wow, when I read that, that really opened my eyes. I'd never heard it quite like that. But in this version, it says, if we do not forgive people, we are turned over to torturers. If you have had or do currently have a problem in this area of forgiveness, I'm sure that you can bear witness to this being true. I mean, there is a certain amount of torture that we go through, you know, when we think about the wrong that somebody has done to us and the separation that we have with them, you know, it is torture. It is torture to have hateful thoughts towards another person rolling around inside your head. Who are you helping most when you forgive the person who hurt you? Let's think about that for a moment. Who are you helping most when you decide to forgive the person who hurt you? You are helping yourself more than the other person. Sometimes it can seem unfair for the one that hurt us to receive forgiveness when we are the one that got hurt. And it's easy for our flawed flesh to think, well, I got the pain and they get the freedom without once having to pay for the pain that they cost. But when we realize that we are helping ourselves when we choose to forgive, the happier we will be. We will feel better physically when we are not filled with all that poison of unforgiveness. We are also helping the other person by releasing them so that God can do what only He can do. If we are constantly in the way, folks, trying to take revenge or take control of the situation ourselves, then God has no obligation to deal with that person. He figures that, well, you don't want to listen to me? You want to do this your way? You have free will. I'm not going to step in. You've taken it out of my hands, so there you go. He has no obligation to deal with that person. However, if we trust God and we choose to forgive, He will take care of the rest. The act of forgiving is our seed of obedience to God's word. Once we have sown our seed, He is faithful to bring a harvest of blessing to us in one way or another. And if we cannot forgive others, then God cannot forgive us. Unforgiveness is a sin, and we reap what we sow. Sow mercy, and you will reap mercy. Sow judgment, and you will reap judgment. So do yourselves a favor, and sow good seeds, and forgive. There are still many more benefits to forgiving. Our fellowship with God flows freely when we are willing to forgive, but it gets blocked when we decide that we're not going to forgive for whatever reason. Forgiveness also keeps Satan from getting the upper hand with us, getting an advantage over us. In Ephesians 4:26 and 27, the Bible clearly tells us, "Do not let the sun go down on our anger, or give the devil any such foothold or opportunity." God is very clear. Do not let the sun go down on our anger. The devil has to have a foothold before he can get a stronghold over our lives. Do not let Satan torture you. Be quick to forgive. Friends, I want to share some warning signs that unforgiveness may be tearing you up inside. And as I continue, can I get an amen if I've hit something, a core in you? You know, I've addressed something that is right on with how you are feeling. Let's say, for instance, you think you're over the issue. You know, whatever wrongdoing happened, you think you're over it. You pretend everything is okay, but something isn't quite right. You have trouble sleeping. You cannot stop thinking about what happened. You cannot seem to move on. It's true. We have a hard time forgiving people, and some more than others. Many of us have faulty notions about what forgiveness is. Like, we feel like we have to receive an apology, or being reconciled with the person. We may not want to admit it, but sometimes we're looking to offer forgiveness, but only if someone else concedes first, someone else admits that they are wrong first. We put a stipulation on our forgiveness. And can I tell you, what you are waiting on may never happen, especially when dealing with toxic people. Are you experiencing bursts of anger? When a person struggles with unforgiveness, they are most likely bottling up all of their anger. And unfortunately, oftentimes the recipient of said outburst is not even the person who caused the stress and the pain to begin with. What we all need to do in this case is to be mindful when we start to feel the anger rising. Be aware of the true source of our anger. Realize that the person that we're coming down on isn't the person that did it to us. And so, if you're in the middle of that outburst, you know, it is never too late to do an about-face. Apologize to the victim. Take a deep breath. If possible, spend a few moments alone. When interacting with the person who wronged you, do you make snide remarks, send mean texts, engage in mudslinging and slandering? Does that ever change the situation? No. We are still going to be powerless because we have not forgiven the other person. We may think we're in control, but we're not. Before we do anything hasty like this, we should take a moment to contemplate whether our interaction with this person will improve things or make it worse. Will it benefit anything? Will it make it worse? Is it something that God would approve of, or is it something against the will of God? Are you desperate to make them understand how you feel? A lot of times, people talk to be heard. You know, they're not necessarily listening. They're already thinking about the next thing that they're going to say, you know, and they're not truly listening to the other person. But, you know, maybe you're that person. Maybe the other person involved in this situation is one of those people that are desperate to be understood, you know, and they don't consider how the other person is thinking. Does the monologue in your mind sound like this? Well, if the person that caused me pain could only see what they've done to me, maybe they would want to say they are sorry to me first. Friends, it is a hard thing to swallow. But that other person may never recognize that they have done anything to you at all. Maybe they think that it's all your fault. Acceptance and letting go are key aspects of forgiveness. May I suggest that all of you know how much I believe. All of you know how much I believe in letters and journals, right? I speak about it quite often. Even if you don't intend to send them, it's good to write letters and journals. I completely believe in their healing powers. And so write the individual who wronged you a letter that you do not intend to send. Do this with the ultimate of honesty, with every intention of destroying it after you have written your peace of mind. Are you compulsive? Do you want to control the hurtful person? And you can't, so you are even more frustrated by the situation. We can't always control things, folks. We can't always control the things around us. But you know what? We can control our environment, our behavior, how we react. Are you blaming the other person that you cannot seem to forgive? Friends, you need to understand that when you do this, when you choose to withhold forgiveness, what you are really saying is this. Listen here. I hold you fully responsible, not just for what you did to me, but how I reacted and how I responded to what you did to me. I hold you fully responsible for my unhappiness. Essentially, that's what you're saying when you choose to withhold forgiveness. And that's not right either. Two wrongs don't make a right. Sometimes we are slow to recognize this, but the truth is we are responsible for our reactions and our feelings and our own happiness. By giving that responsibility away to the one that hurt you, the only thing you are doing is you are allowing them to have the power over you that is not theirs to have. Friends, how many of you out there feel physically sick because of what has happened to you? It is true. As some of you may be aware of, withholding forgiveness can actually make you physically sick. If you find yourself struggling with stress, anxiety, depression, high blood pressure, then it may be a good time to sit yourself down and have a serious talk with yourself about your reactions to the situation. If it's making you sick, see what you can come up with to find forgiveness. Consider for a moment the thing that you are holding on to most tightly may actually be slowly taking your life away. Is it worth it? It is said that forgiveness, letting go of bitterness and resentment, can improve the conditions that I just mentioned, but also improve your immune system, your heart, and your overall mental health. Folks, that's some serious business. Try to avoid keeping score of who did what, because it serves no purpose in your well-being. Ditch that mental list and move on. Sometimes when we are stuck in unforgiveness, we experience a toxic brew of things like guilt and shame and self-judgment and self-sabotage. We may not even realize that we're being so hard on ourselves. But the way out of this is to simply love yourself, just as you are right now. Perhaps you find yourself replaying the scene over and over again, lying awake at night, during the day going about your daily work. With each replay you feel more stuck, and the resentment grows. Perhaps we gossip about those that have hurt us. It's natural in our human flesh to want to hurt those who have hurt us first. One primary way of doing this is through gossip about them. But I want you to remember this, folks. In Proverbs 18:21, the Bible tells us that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Either way, death or life, we will eat the fruits from what we say. And when you choose to gossip, you are not only doing further harm to your broken relationship, but you are also endangering the relationships with those that you gossip with. How so, you might ask? Well, while your gossiping may start out feeling like bonding time, sooner or later, those people that you are gossiping with will realize that you can't be trusted either to hold their confidence. If you are harboring the belief that you did everything right and the other person did everything wrong, then you may need to re-examine your own behavior. There's always two sides to a story. And if you withhold forgiveness and believe that the offender did everything 100% wrong, and that you did nothing wrong, that you are owed an apology, then you are most likely going to continue to be met with hostility instead of sorrow. Learning to forgive is a lifelong process, folks. Just like love, forgiveness is a decision that we make each day. It's hard, but don't be discouraged. You can start out fresh every day, and it's never too late to do this. And so, at this time, I'm going to go ahead and take a short break, and after these two songs, I'll be right back. So sit back and enjoy the music, get yourself a coffee, whatever you need to do. And I'll be back as soon as these songs are over.
Failure knocks me down again. I'm reminded of the wrong that I have said and done, and that devil just won't let me forget. In this life, can't believe what she said. I can't believe what he did. Oh, don't they know it's wrong? Don't they know it's wrong? Yeah. Maybe there's something I missed. But how could they treat me like this? It's wearing out my heart. The way they disregard. Oh, this is love. This is hate. We all choice to make. Oh, Father, won't you forgive them? They don't know what they've been doing. Oh, Father, give me grace to forgive them, 'cause I feel like the one losing. Only the dead that can live. But still I wrestle with this, to lose the pain that's mine. 70 times 7 times, yeah. Lord, it doesn't feel right for me to turn a blind eye. Lord, yes, it's not that much when I think of what you've done, yeah. This is love. This is hate. Change their heart. We're up in arms over wars. Don't need to be far. God won't let us lay weapons on the ground. We build bridges up, but just to burn them down.
Those were some good songs. Welcome back, and thank you for joining me on the Hope Show today. I'm happy that you have decided to join me. If you are just tuning in, today's message is on the poison of unforgiveness. Friends, if there is unforgiveness in your heart, then we must all weed that out of our hearts. In Hosea 10:12, the Bible tells us that I said, plant the good seeds of righteousness, and you will harvest a crop of love. Plow up the hard grounds of your heart, for now is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and shower righteousness upon you. Have any of you ever felt that the moment you opened the door, knowing the moment that you decided to step in it, resentment would capture your heart? How many of you feel as if forgiveness has been a long time coming, but that distance from the offender, it seems like it's helped, you know. It seems like maybe you have had time to forget about it, you know. You're not healing your heart. You're not forgiving. But when you're not there and it's not in your face all the time, sometimes you can kind of grow to put it in the back burner, the back parts of your mind, and it doesn't hurt so much until, you know, something triggers that and brings it back up to you. Or perhaps, you know, maybe the thought of seeing that person again or whatever. And that resentment just captures your heart just all over again like it was yesterday. But what would happen if you were to see them again? Grudges develop over time. For all the times they never spoke to you, the times you have been left sitting alone, for all the times you felt invisible and unimportant, what would happen if you were to see those people? You know, what would happen if you were in the same room with them? Well, when we fail to forgive, bitterness takes root in our heart. And in Hebrews 12:15, the Bible tells us, "See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." The next time the offender slights you, that root grows deeper and deeper and deeper, and a grudge is formed. Instead of forgiving each incident, the anger grows, and forgiveness cannot grow in a hard heart. Like a garden, the soil must be plowed up for the seeds to grow. God must plow up the hard ground of our hearts. Breaking up that hard ground is oftentimes painful. For any of you who know anything about farming, breaking up a hard ground is quite difficult, quite painful, and it takes some extra time and effort. Think about the process for a moment. Something repeatedly striking the hard ground, breaking it into smaller chunks, that could be uncomfortable. Friends, according to God, forgiveness is not an option, but a command. Forgiveness is not an option, it's a command from God. When someone insults or hurts us, they insult and hurt God as well. But you know what? If God can forgive us, then why can't we forgive those who wronged us? In the Bible, it says, "The seeds of forgiveness were hindered by the weeds and the thorns of an unforgiving heart. They had to be dug up, plowed up, and removed to leave fertile soil for the seeds of forgiveness to flourish." Friends, if you are unable to forgive, just ask God to help you. Beg Him for victory over the root of bitterness. Refuse to dredge up the pain. Refuse to have those ugly thoughts in your head about that other person. The moment you think something bad about that person, hold those thoughts captive and say, "No, get out of my head. Get out of my brain. I am not thinking that because I know that it's wrong to think that. That these things that I think are not the thoughts of God." Strive for forgiveness. We are never more like God when we love and forgive others. I know, forgiving isn't easy. I've had to do that with some people also. And so I speak from experience. It is not easy. It does not come naturally. Our flesh wants to keep score and say that, well, we didn't do anything. That other person did all of it. We're not going to do anything until they apologize. That is not of God. Forgiving isn't easy. In fact, it's very hard. But we cannot allow the sin of unforgiveness to feel at home, to feel comfortable in our heart, because the more we do so, the harder it gets, and the longer it stretches out. We must draw closer and closer to God each day, being continually in prayer until He has given you the victory over bitterness, over grudges, over unforgiveness and resentment. When we forgive others, there is such a freedom where we no longer feel shackled by our own anger. It moves from us the selfish notions into a beautiful reality. It is hard work, folks, letting go of the fantasies that we can change the world, change the past, that we can change others, or even that we are the ones that can change ourselves. It's hard work, letting go of those fantasies. When we let go of these unrealistic notions, that we open the door for God to work in our lives, it's a mighty and powerful thing when we just release all that and turn all that over to God. In Proverbs 24:17, the Bible tells us, "Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and let not your heart be glad when he stumbles." And in James 1:19-20, the Bible says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." And in Ephesians 4:31-32, the Bible says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave us." Friends, the Old Testament Bible, the word forgive appears 42 times and 28 times in the New Testament, 150 times in the NIV Bible, 619 times for righteousness in the NASB Bible. Friends, my point is this. There is a whole lot of stuff in the Bible that talks about forgiveness, righteousness, repentance, judgment, redeemed, you know, all those things. I didn't even get around to counting half of the verses that deal with this matter. But God says it is one of the most important commandments in the Bible. We are not doing ourselves or our relationship with God and others any favors by harboring unforgiveness in our heart. It is a very bad trap to fall in. Everyone has fallings out with their family now and again. That's just human nature. Sometimes disagreements can turn into long-term grudges with feelings of animosity and anger trumping love and family bonds. But there are two sides to every story. And whatever that situation is, negativity is unhealthy. It takes up a lot of energy and a lot of life. And life is too short to be like this. Your children need good role models, and your children need the family as much as you do. Unforgiveness makes gatherings difficult and awkward for everyone. The stress of family rifts can take a toll not only on you, but the rest of your relatives too. No one is guaranteed a tomorrow, and you don't want to lose someone and live with regrets for the rest of your life. It is a very bitter pill to accept that you may not have tried hard enough to reconcile, but instead let your own ego be your guide and not reconciling and forgiving. Do you want your children to grow up without uncles and aunts and cousins and grandmas and grandpas, all because of your ego? That's not fair. We do not want to wake up one morning. You know, we don't actually. We don't just wake up in a mood one morning to forgive. We do not suddenly realize that all of our pain is just gone, poof. We have to make the choice, the decision, to forgive the other person that hurt us. And the choice to forgive is a deliberate and purposeful act. To forgive is to make the choice to break the pattern, no matter how many years it's been going on. It's a choice that we make to break a pattern. Are you ready to do that today? Did you know that families can rise or fall based on how well they handle conflict and hurt? And without the right tools, bitterness and resentment, unforgiveness, it can destroy families. Completely destroy families. Bitterness has taken root in many families, and year after year during the holidays like Easter and Thanksgiving and Christmas, it comes out even more. And that is very sad indeed. At a time that we are all supposed to be celebrating the Lord, families cannot come together, be whole and healthy, set their problems aside for the better of the family, but they will continue to destroy everything family and for all Christ holidays stand for. Our children watch us, and they learn how to forgive or to be bitter by our example. You know, some of the most bitter people are the ones who have never received forgiveness themselves. Friends, pray for your enemies. Pray for your enemies. Friends, how many of you know people? Maybe it's you. Or how do you or know of other families, perhaps, that you have an argument with a brother or a sister or a mom or a dad? Or a grandma and a grandpa, and you haven't spoken years. Maybe you haven't even seen each other in years. And you have children. You have small children growing up that haven't even seen these people. That is not fair. The child didn't make this mess. The child doesn't even know these people. But the child deserves the right to know these people and to, you know, have them in their life. But when you choose to unforgive someone, you choose to slight your children from the opportunity of getting to know these very important people in their life. And that's very sad. Try to put yourselves in their shoes and ask yourself what they must be feeling. And your enemies, try to put yourselves in their shoes and ask yourself what they must be feeling. Forgive your enemies. God will work on them and you if you just let God have control. Friends, I have had an incident in my own life in the last few months. Very painful. With someone very, 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 very close to me that I've always had a really strong bond with. And at first, I didn't respond very well to the hurt that someone had caused me. But you know, the more I thought about it, and the more I kept praying for them, I thought about how they must be feeling to cause them to react to me in such a way. I stopped thinking about myself, me, 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 me. And I thought, you know, enough's enough. There has to be a better way. God would not want me to be like this. God would not want our family to go through this. And sometimes you have to man up and be the better person. But, you know, I thought about that. And I thought about that person. And I thought, what must they be feeling to cause them to react in such a way to me? And then, due to the circumstances, it dawned on me that they must be in a great deal of their own pain over some things that have happened in our family over the past year or so. I realized that they might be projecting their own pain back upon me. And though that isn't fair, and it is painful for me, I needed to be in prayer about their pain and suffering and ask God to work in them and through them, for God to restore them and to restore our relationship, and that they would be receptive to God's word. I finally came to the realization that it might just not be all about me. But it was about me forgiving them and praying for them to be healed and for our relationship to be healed. And friends, when my mindset changed, when my behaviors and my reactions changed, things began to turn around. And I'm so grateful to God for that blessing. It's a close relative, and I don't want to lose them. I love them. It's still going to take some time, but I know without a shadow of a doubt, I know that God is going to restore this relationship. Little bit by little bit, it's already going on. It's already going in the right direction. Friends, I'm still going to be in prayer because it's still not resolved. We are not fully reconciled. And there's still some work to be done. God's not done yet. But I believe with all my faith, and I trust in God with all my heart, that He's going to make a way and He's going to make it happen. But it will take some time. Little bit by little bit, it's going in the right direction. Friends, relatives and family are so important to God and to us. Don't waste another moment asking God to help restore your broken relationships. It is not God's will that families be separated and destroyed, that love be lost. God is all about love and forgiveness and family. God does not want to see you or your family suffer. God is all about grace and mercy. It is God's will that families stay together and love one another as long as they shall live. And with Thanksgiving Christmas so near, won't you try to put away your differences? Put aside those differences. Pray about it. Ask God's help. Make the move. Be the bigger person. Whatever it takes to get that relationship restored. Because it's so worth it. Don't wait another moment to try to put yourself in the other person's shoes and to think what must be going on in their mind. What could possibly make them behave that way? And examine your own behavior. Maybe your own behavior isn't that great either. What do you need to do to change that? What do you need to ask God for to make those changes happen in your behavior, your reaction, your attitude? But friends, it's a choice. It's a decision. It's a mindful and purposeful decision. And that's where you've got to start. Let this year be different. Find your family. Love and forgive one another. Make that call. Make that trip to their doorstep. You may even be surprised that you might be received with arms wide open. You don't know. You never know. But with all that in mind, I want us to go ahead and bow our heads in a closing prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, please forgive us of our sins and help us to forgive others of their sins against us. We know that if we cannot forgive others, you cannot forgive us. And dear Heavenly Father, enable us to forgive those who need forgiveness. Plow up those weeds and thorns of resentment. Destroy the roots of bitterness in us. On our own, we cannot do this. It is only through you that we can forgive. And we give you all the praise, honor, and glory now for the victory that you will have in our heart. We thank you in advance for these answered prayers and for all the things that you are about to do in each of our lives. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen. Amen. Friends, I sincerely hope that God's message has resonated in your heart and in your mind today. I pray that if there is any one of you out there that is struggling with a relationship, that before these holidays get here, that your relationships will be reconciled and restored. Ask God for His help. Families need one another. We are only on this earth for a very short while, and life is too short to be separated from our loved ones. And no one knows the hour when we will be reunited with God in heaven. We don't want to let time pass away without trying to settle our relationship issues, and then later have to live with regrets for the rest of our lives and be left with only the thoughts of, we should have, we could have, what if only we had done this or that. Friends, you don't want that left on your conscience. Family need one another. No matter how long it's been, whether it's been a week, a month, a year, 10 years, 20 years, family needs each other. And that is God's will. So, please think about that in the days ahead before the holidays. And I pray that God will lay it upon your heart what He wants you to do, and that you will obey whatever it is that He wants you to do. Until we join again next week, same time, same place, may God richly bless you and your family, and may you find the rest and the forgiveness for your soul. I love you, folks.
How much I've let you down. I dread the pain that waits for me tomorrow, when the sun reveals my broken dreams scattered on the ground. Please forgive me. I need your grace to make it through. All I have is you. I've had some mercy. Lord, I'll serve you until my dying day. I'll help others find the way. I've had some mercy. Please forgive me. Can't believe the God of earth and glory. I can't believe that He would take the time to care for an old sinner like me. But you know, I read in the Bible that old story, that old precious story, how He pled for mine and your forgiveness as He was dying on that old rugged tree. I need your grace to make it through. All I have is you. I'm at your mercy. Lord, I'll serve you until my dying day. I'll help others find a way. I'm at your mercy.
If He saved you tonight, why don't you raise your hands and praise Him? 10,000 angels waiting for His beck and call. But instead, He died on that cross for you and I tonight. Thank God.
Oh, please forgive me. You know I need your grace to make it through. All I have is you. I'm at your mercy.
need is you.
You.
Thank God for grace.
Lord, and I'm drowning in your sea of forgetfulness. The chains of yesterday surround me. I yearn for peace and rest. I don't want to end up where you found me. And it echoes in my mind, keeps me awake tonight. I know you've cast my sin as far as east is from the west, and I stand before you now as though I've never sinned. But today I feel like I'm just one mistake away from you leaving me this way. Jesus, can you show me just how far the east is from the west? 'Cause I can't bear to see the man I've been, for rising up in me again. In the arms of your mercy I find rest. 'Cause you know just how far the east is from the west, from one scarred hand to the other. Reminding of my sin, and time again, your truth is drowned out by the storm I'm in. Today I feel like I'm just one mistake away from you leaving me this way. Jesus, can you show me just how far?
To the other.